Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Guy Williams, who joins us every Monday in the 12 o'clock hour, and we appreciate same. Guy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Guy, let's start off, if you don't mind, about today's inaugural activities, a new administration, a new light, a new hope, a new excitement. Your thoughts?
Really encouraged. I was there, and first, it wasn't boring. Many inaugurations are boring, a lot of speeches, and this one was high on music, high on entertainment value, but also the encouraging thing is you had parish presidents from around the region there, and also on stage, you had Republican Steve Scalise and Democrat Troy Carter sort of speaking together arm in arm about the importance of New Orleans. So when the mayor talks about working with the other parishes, I think she's genuinely serious. I think she's committed to meeting in each parish with the parish presidents rather than trying to summon people to New Orleans. But also, it was encouraging that the parish presidents chose to attend this event. And it was nice. A surprise appearance by Kamala Harris. So, you know, that was a bit of a shock, but nice to have her make her visit to New Orleans as well. I'm optimistic. I mean, the mayor certainly faces a deep challenge, but the streets were clean this morning. I don't know what they did, but the traditional homeless on the Canal Street weren't there as I walked to the Sanger.
Yeah, and in fact, someone else, I think Dave Cohen was indicating there's a light that's been out forever and a day. And this morning, he takes the same route, and he got to that intersection, and the light was working. It's like, you know, what's going on here?
You know, son of a gun. And, you know, former Mayor Landrieu once said, you know, it's wonderful to be mayor, but the next morning, every pothole is yours. And so it's great. I'm very optimistic. I'm encouraged. But tomorrow morning, all the potholes are hers. And she had to leave the inauguration, not had to, but immediately after the inauguration, they had a budget meeting. Mm-hmm. So she and the council are meeting to talk about, okay, how do we dig out of this hole? Because the hole is still there. It's still real. And we're going to have to cut some expenses in New Orleans and also look at ways to generate additional revenue in order to make things work out.
And actually, in the last 2 weeks of the transition, there were revelations that we find out that the hole is even deeper than what we thought. And there's who knows what else they'll find, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges. We just weren't getting good information, and it's really impossible to make good decisions if you don't have good info. So I'm really sorry the city was not providing better info. I do wish we'd paid a little more attention. BGR highlighted this about 18 months ago, and, you know, people, I think, sort of swept it under the rug and said, yeah, well, the numbers are the numbers, and we'll just carry on. But I think going forward, we are going to have better numbers and a reality. We also have the state looking over our shoulder. Now, we made a deal with the state, and I think it was a fair deal, which is look, y'all don't stand in the way of us borrowing money in New Orleans, but you also get to look at how the money is being spent. You don't get to dictate how it is spent, because that was the original proposal. The state basically becomes the fiscal master for New Orleans, and nobody wanted that. But now we also have permission to borrow, but we also have state oversight. So it's sort of like an additional auditor watching where the money goes. And based on how badly money was spent in the past, I think it's worthwhile to have that extra set of eyes looking at what's going on.
I think, you know, because of the nature of what is kind of being handed over in the first 6 months of this administration, you almost need like this insatiable curiosity, right? A curiosity that's almost impossible to satisfy, so that you can find out the whys of everything.
Yeah, and I think we're going to get that, where we actually look at each division and say, okay, what exactly are you doing? I mean, there are a lot of programs that have great names but bad outcomes. And, you know, the mayor's already said the reality, which is everybody that's on the payroll can't stay on the payroll. We simply don't have the money. So
we're gonna
have some layoffs. We're going to make things more efficient. They're not going to be focused on police and fire. But in other areas, we've got to cut out some nice-to-haves in order that we can keep doing the must-haves.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's pivot real quick to this breaking news story. And the Fed Reserve is receiving grand jury subpoenas about renovation of buildings. This kind of bugs me in a way. You know, if there's a problem, it would seem to me, send in an inspector general, an internal auditor, find out whether or not the procurement process was flawed or whatever. But to just jump right to a grand jury subpoena, it seems that there's something else going on.
Well, it's really, I think, a bit egregious for a number of reasons. Chairman Powell is going to not be Chairman Powell in 3 more months. In April, you have a new Fed chair. I don't believe for one moment that Chairman Powell sat in his office all by himself with architects and said, we're just going to spend a ton of money on this renovation of the Federal Reserve. I just don't believe he did that. I'm sure there was a committee. I'm sure there was a process. But I'm also sure that anything that's done in Washington, D.C., anything that's done under federal contracting guidelines cost more than it should. So, yeah, we have a historic building being renovated, and it's coming in over budget and over time. Well, that's not a surprise, and it's not criminal. I don't think Chairman Powell put a penny in his pocket. I don't think contractors gave him any money. I don't think he authorized spending that was inaccurate or inappropriate. So I think it's a sideshow, and I agree with you. If you think you have contracting issues, you can inspect it, but it's sort of late to inspect when most of the money is out the door. Now, if somebody did something dishonest, then you go back after the contractor or the architect. But I suspect it's just going to be normal government inefficiency. And I'm with you. I would not have started. You don't want to start with a subpoena. And, you know, for the president, he was tormented by lawfare while he was out of office. I would think he would want to not perpetuate that trend. And I wish we'd see a little bit of a look. It's time to stop just egregiously assaulting political enemies, whether they're on the right or the left.
And then the interesting thing is that the Fed looks at a lot of historical precedent about, you know, the ups and the downs of the economy, this, that. You and I have talked about this over and over and over again on our Monday visits. There's a lot of information, conflicting things going on right now in the economy. And even some things they really hadn't seen that many times, right?
Yeah, and I mean, look, the Fed relies on a lot of different sources. I think I've said it before. I'm part of the business committee that reports to the Atlanta Fed. And the Atlanta Fed, like other Feds, reaches out to lots of different people. And they just say, what are you seeing? And they gather information. Now, you can call that anecdotes, but when you get enough people giving an anecdote, that's the same thing as a survey. And you create a business survey. So the Fed's doing their best to get information. This is an interesting and difficult time. You had the partial government shutdown, which confused things. You've had the ebb and flow of tariffs, so that distorts the data. You've had the green energy, green on, green off, and that distorts data as well. So, you know, if you're the Fed trying to rely on data, it is challenging right now because you got a lot of cross currents and a lot of data that is affected by just one-time events, and you don't really know what's coming next.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, it's just, you know, kind of out of the blue, and I guess they will reveal at some point whether or not there's been interviews or whatever, or what the suspicions are. You know, it's just only information we have is receipt of grand jury subpoenas. And that I just don't like this tack. I mean, it just doesn't seem to make much sense to me. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the economics of the Venezuela action. When we return, we're visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll be right back.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are visiting with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, there's been a lot of information flowing back and forth as to, you know, what was actually behind this Venezuela action, the, you know, whether oil, gold, minerals, whatever. What's the story here?
Well, if you remember, a few weeks ago, we used the analogy of taking a cue ball to break up the all the balls on a game of pool. And that's really what the administration has done with Venezuela. It's not about oil. The U.S. is the largest exporter of oil, the largest producer of oil right now. We don't have the biggest reserves, but we're very efficient in production. We don't need any more oil. But it's about a lot of the secondary effects and also the fact that Maduro was not legitimately elected. There was an election. He lost. He stayed in office. Essentially, all of the presidents of the countries in Central and South America said that Maduro lost, so he was illegitimately in office. He's definitely involved in drug smuggling. That's one of their cash crops because they've destroyed most of the other part of the economy. But in terms of what's really involved, it's about a number of different countries, and you start with Russia, China, Iran, Cuba, and then finally Venezuela. But starting at the top, we're wrestling with how to stop Russia in Ukraine. And, you know, the president is reluctant to send additional weapons, but he recognizes that Russia has a very hard time running their economy with low oil prices. If oil prices are below about $90 a barrel, Russia has a budget deficit. Well, they're about $56 a barrel now. If Venezuela, which has the largest reserves in the world, even larger than Saudi, is brought back online, oil prices could come down significantly. Now, if you just adjusted oil for inflation over the last 50 years, it should be about $42 a barrel right now. So it's a little bit higher than inflation adjusted, not ridiculous. But every dollar that we push oil prices down hurts Russia and their ability to continue this war in Ukraine. So one of the Venezuela things is the attack on Russia's oil price and Russia's ability to fight this war. A second target is China, and China is a big importer of oil. They're simultaneously two things. They're putting in more solar panels than any other country on the face of the earth, but they're also opening more coal-fired and oil-fired generating plants. And China intends to be energy independent, which they're not right now. Now, they have lots of coal, and they don't mind burning coal. They have lots of acreage where they can put up solar panels. So their objective is to become energy independent. And they really are loving the war in Europe because with Russia not having options, they're able to buy Russian oil and gas at a significant discount. So they're bleeding Russia, really effectively making Russia a colony of China. They're seeing Russia's army become depleted, 100,000 plus soldiers killed. And they share a very long common border. So as China looks at Russia, they say, as long as this war goes on, we're getting cheap oil. Russia's getting weaker, who's our immediate neighbor. And it will make it easier for us to negotiate deals to get resources in Siberia. Well, the attack on Venezuela, to the extent that it causes China to have a challenge importing oil, is good for the U.S. It also weakens Russia in their ability to fight. You go on to Iran. My goodness, 4 days of significant protest, hundreds of people killed. Iran's protests are led by shopkeepers, middle-aged folks, and students. The shopkeepers are devastated because Iranian inflation's 42%. The rial has collapsed, which is their currency unit. Iran was using that shadow fleet of tankers that we have started to interdict and capture as they go to Venezuela. So Iran's ability to export oil, their ability to fund terrorism, is diminished. And the people in Iran are absolutely frustrated with high inflation, low prospects. And they look around, they look at places like Dubai and the United Arab Emirates, which are phenomenally wealthy. And Noel, I think I mentioned, I just got back from Dubai. I stopped counting cranes in the sky at 50. And wow. It's just a phenomenal thing. So the Iranians are looking at that and they're saying, Dubai's overrun with wealth. I mean, you've got more Maseratis, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, you know, Bentleys, Rolls Royce, phenomenal office towers, great malls. You know, people are doing well. They're building like crazy. And the Iranians are saying, wait, that could be us. You know, Dubai has nothing but sand and oil. And they've turned it into a big trading city, a big airport hub. And the Iranian citizens are saying, we're starving. I mean, we literally we're devastated. We can't make money. We can't do well. So the Iranians are in the streets protesting. And ironically, the old chant death to America is now death to Khomeini, death to the revolution. So citizens are fed up, and this action in Venezuela gets Iran on the back foot. That moves on to Cuba, and Marco Rubio, if you could give him truth serum, I believe he would say this is his prime objective. You know, his family is Cuban by ancestry. He would love to see Cuba turned around. Now, Cuba's a small country. There are only 10 million Cubans. You know, we talk about Cuba all the time like it's a big deal. It's a wonderful country. I love the people. I love visiting there. but there aren't a bunch of them, and 20% of them have immigrated over the last 3 years. But the Cuban economy is absolutely in the toilet. Power is off. You can't store food. You can't get gasoline. You can't get medicine. The myth of the Cuban medical system is just that, a myth. You have smart Cuban doctors, but no medicine, no ability to do a follow-up. I have a friend in Cuba that just went in the hospital. He said, "You're not going to believe what I had to bring." I said, "Well, tell me." He said, "Had to bring sheets, pillows, blankets," which I expected, "bandages, ibuprofen," because that was the only pain reliever, "but also catheters." It's like, where do you go to get a catheter? I mean, really? So you have to show up at the hospital with your own supplies. And then they said, "Look, if you get a prescription, you're going to have to get a friend in the U.S. to fill it, because we don't have those drugs in Cuba." So this attack on Venezuela is also an attempt to get the Cuban regime to turn over and end up with a democracy. And then finally, in Venezuela, unfortunately, we've left the old socialist regime in place. I really would have been a lot happier if we'd said, "Look, you have an elected president. He won a year ago. You've got a wonderful young lady that won the Nobel Peace Prize. You have great opposition figures. If you don't install them, then let's have elections in 3 months, 6 months, and turn it over to a democratic regime that will run things for the people." But Venezuela is about all these different countries and all these different objectives. Now, you know, once you start this, you never know what happens. So, you know, we've broken the balls on the pool table. Now we see where they go. But for sure, we have a lot of different implications and a lot of things that they're stirred up.
So, with all of that said, and in that context, obviously duration of this is important, right? How long can we have this go on before we get the desired result that we're looking for? Because you got a lot of different parties on a timeline that are going to be seriously or significantly impacted at different points in time. How long, though? I got to imagine Cuba falls first, right? So what do they do then?
Yeah, it might be a toss-up between Cuba and Iran, because Iran is, you've had days and days of really serious protest. Cuba, because the security forces have been so effective in, you know, taking away weapons from any normal Cuban, and they really don't have a tradition of democratic institutions for the last 50 years, that's going to be a little tougher. And because people are literally struggling every day to put food on the table, it's hard to get involved in political change when you're hungry and really on the verge of being desperate every day. How long do we stay involved? I would hope that we would stay involved long enough to ensure a peaceful transition in Venezuela. Once again, you've got an opposition party. They're organized. They've won the votes. It would be wonderful to have them in place and then talk to the new administration and say, "Look, you need to arrest the Cuban security people that are in Venezuela. You know, they're part of the problem. They were part of the torture, part of the murder that Maduro was involved in." And this doesn't happen quickly. I mean, you don't turn things over and you don't turn it on a dime. But Venezuela has so many resources. I think it's a country that in 2 or 3 years would be remarkably better off if we could get rid of the socialist regime and get the opposition in place.
Yeah. It's one of the other countries that you failed to mention. Nicaragua relies on Venezuelan money a lot as well. Daniel Ortega, an oppressive leader there, has gone out after the Catholic Church in many respects. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Another domino that could fall here. Let's pivot a tale of two cities. New York heads left. San Francisco heads to the center. This is an interesting phenomenon, to say the least.
Yeah, for years, a lot of people have had a lot of fun talking about San Francisco and their dysfunction. And And rightfully so. You had a DA named Chelsea Bowden that didn't believe in putting criminals in jail. You had a legislature that thought that if you stole less than $900, that wasn't really theft and you could just walk out with it. You had a mayor, London Breed, who thought that you didn't need police and that it was okay to have homeless encampments everywhere and open-air drug use. And what happened is San Francisco went through a devastating property collapse. Values collapsed. Assessments had to be lowered. The budget is out of balance. And so as a result of all that, you had a man named Dennis Lurie elected mayor of San Francisco. And listen to the campaign he ran on. I'm going to balance the budget and cut down on crime. Now, he's a Democrat. He's not saying that he's on the far right wing or a Republican by any stretch. But this is a Democrat running on balanced budget, cut down on crime. And the head of the Democratic Party in San Francisco, Nancy Tung, really made an interesting point. She said, we in San Francisco went too far. We got sidetracked on social issues that people didn't really care about. We got sidetracked on things that made quality of life worse. And we followed our progressive instincts, and we literally went too far. And that's why we've had to have a course correction. That's why I say that guy Chelsea Bowden was voted out as DA. Three school board members were voted out. They were voted out because when COVID shut down the schools and people saw how horrible the learning was on Zoom, the school board members said, well, we're going to refocus on naming the schools. That's going to be our focus this year, is renaming the schools. And the parents were like, how about focusing on educating the kids?
Yeah.
And it's sort of, where's your priority?
Well, there is no priority. I mean, it's all just showcasing, right?
Yeah. So what's happened is San Francisco has now said, you know, we need a course correction. We've gone too far. And we're going to get a balanced budget. We're going to cut down on crime. We're going to improve quality of life. And if they do, you're still in San Francisco. It's a beautiful city. It can make a comeback. And the challenge was, you know, people would go and visit, and they were just afraid. I mean, last year, my wife and I went there for dinner one night, and, you know, I really was sort of cautious about where we parked the car. I said, I want to find a lot with a guard and security because, you know, I'm looking at all these people wandering around, you know, with backpacks and shopping carts and, you know, just I don't want them breaking into the car. So when you have that nervousness, it's hard to redevelop a downtown. But now the new mayor is saying we're going to straighten it up. And the results have been pretty good. I mean, property values are beginning to come back up. There's beginning to be a little more confidence. Now, there's a lot of work to go. You've got some big empty malls that have to be redeveloped. You've got some big empty hotels that need to be redone. But San Francisco's realized they went too far, and they're moving back into the mainstream.
Yeah. And in San Francisco, too, they just reported some crime stats here recently. I think lowest crime rates since 1967. Which is really interesting on top of all of that, too. And New York has seen some reductions, but not nearly what San Francisco has seen.
Yeah, and one of the things San Francisco did is they told the police, said, look, we're sorry. You know, you were bringing people in. We weren't prosecuting them. We're actually going to prosecute criminals now. And this idea of letting people steal a little bit and it's okay, that's over. We're not doing that. And the turnaround was remarkable. And, you know, most people in police work, and I don't know if you would agree, would say that there's a handful of hardened criminals, maybe in the hundreds, that do most of the crimes. And so San Francisco is apparently catching some of those.
Yeah, the more that you selectively incapacitate the impact criminal, you're going to see crime go down. I mean, that's their business, right, is to steal from people, to arm rob people, to harm people. That's what they do for a living. You lock them up and you'll see some immediate impact because they just go day to day to day committing these crimes.
Yeah, and so now we're seeing a very positive impact. And look, for America, it's great. We San Francisco is one of the great world cities. We don't want it to be a disaster. It's not good for America. It's not good for, the taxpayers in the rest of the states, because ultimately everybody ends up picking up the bill when things don't go well.
Yeah. And now what you're seeing in New York, too, Guy, is already we're starting to see some court decisions coming out that are standing in the way of some of the stuff that Mondami wants to do, which is going to frustrate them even more, right?
Yeah, he's, he's a true believer. And you really wonder sometimes when you look at things and you see this didn't work, and you double down on it, and it doesn't work even more, and then you do more of it, and it continues to not work. It's like, at what point do you give up a belief that you have? And I think that the challenge is, this is a young man who really has never had a real job. You know, he was a production assistant for his mom on a TV show. He looks good. He's, very affable, nice smile, nice political style. But he's never had to make a payroll, never run a business, never run, a significant division of government. And so he has ideas that, many of us had in college. And, it used to be a saying, if you don't lean left when you're in college, you have no heart. If you don't lean right when you get a little older, you have no brain. I think he's still in the lean left and big heart, but reality has not intruded. And the challenge is, he's putting some people in place that are really dangerous. And, there are other true believers. And that's one of the unfortunate things, because he does have an impact on real estate and property in New York City. And he appointed a lady named Sia Weaver to be the head of New York's housing market. The problem with her is, it's hard. I'll let people make their own decision of what they think. I'll just read her statements. Private property is a weapon of white supremacy. Individuals need to devote themselves to the collective good. Families, especially white families, will have a different relationship to property. Now, when you have somebody like that who thinks that property is a collective good, not a private right. And Mondami seconded that. He said, we're going to replace the coldness with individual property rights with the warmth of collectivism. So she's now in charge of real estate. City of New York has a terrible, terrible reputation running the apartments that it owns. Horrible safety violations, significantly more safety violations than the rent-controlled apartments that are in the private market, significantly higher costs, significantly worse tenant satisfaction. And yet her plan is, we're going to make it uneconomic for landlords to run rent-stabilized apartments. We're not going to let the rent go up as fast as expenses go up. And therefore, properties will become less valuable. Ultimately, people won't pay their taxes, and then we can put them under city ownership. And, what's happened is rent-stabilized buildings are already selling at a big discount, significantly less than they did. Probably the worst example is a rent-stabilized building in East Harlem sold for 3%, 3 of its 2016 sales price. A city pension fund actually invested in rent-stabilized apartments, and they now have a 70% loss in that real estate pool. So the mayor and his housing assistant are doing their very best to make private property very challenging for rental apartments. And, most of us in the economic world say, well, if you do that, you will reduce supply, and you will ultimately create significantly more problems than you solve. And I think he's going to have to go through a cycle of seeing real problems occur before he becomes a little more rational. And look, some true believers never change.
Oh, yeah. No.
You cited Nicaragua. I don't think Daniel Ortega has ever reconciled himself to the fact that he has essentially destroyed a once thriving, beautiful country.
No, there's no doubt, for sure. You're right. It's going to be interesting, cause, you know, that young lady that you were quoting. I mean, there's probably three more pages of quotes from her that are just truly alarming. It's like,
yeah, and that's why I'm not going to characterize what she is. I'll just let people make their own opinions based on what she said. But that's scary.
No, it is scary for certain. All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. When we come back, we'll talk about the new reality of our Social Security funding shortfall. We'll be right back. Stay with
us. Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, let's talk about the new reality of our Social Security funding shortfall.
Yeah. You know, we have auditors who manage the two Social Security funds, the old age survivor benefits and the retirement fund. And they do actuarial analysis. And what they have said is the numbers are not good and they're getting worse. And what's happening is Social Security was always intended for the retirees to be supported by the workers. Well, we don't have the same level of participation in the workforce that we did a few years ago. We haven't recovered that yet. Hopefully we will. But based on that not recovering, based on the shortage of babies in America and now the shortage of immigrants, the revenue pool is shrinking. And you and I have often talked about why things are solved on a 2, 4, or 6 year cycle. Well, that's the political term, whether you're a congressman, a president, or a senator. Senators elected this fall will have to deal with Social Security because it will run out of money within the next 6 years after the fall elections. So the trustees have said, look, we keep updating the date. Here it is. You guys, Team D, Team R, none of you have done anything to make changes. And so the hard deadline is going to come during the next senatorial term. And if nothing happens, benefits will be cut by 20%, maybe 23%. And, you know, we all know that that's unlikely to occur, but we also know the U.S. has a challenge. We're running the largest peacetime deficit we've ever run in the history of America. Interest now takes up more of the budget than defense. So when we reach this six-year period and we don't want to cut benefits, the challenge is, what do we do? Do we cut spending? Do we raise taxes? You know, how do we address the issue? And because neither side has been willing to talk about it, they both like arguing and blaming the other, it's very difficult to reach a conclusion and to reach a compromise. One of the things that happened back in the day is Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill got together and they pushed the insolvency date way out, you know, almost 30 years out. Easily could happen today, but, you know, we need some political leadership.
Got to compromise. It's a dirty word still. Every now and then they're able to work something out. If they want to get unelected in a real surefire way, don't remedy the Social Security problem and watch what happens.
I mean, oh, exactly. I mean, that is, it's been called the third rail of American politics. And I think messing with Social Security is definitely something that you can't do. But there's a difference between correction and messing with it. Under right. the Reagan-O'Neill compromise, they gradually raised the retirement age. It wasn't a disaster. It didn't hurt people deeply, but it also extended the maturity of the funds. So there's room to compromise. You just have to be willing to do it.
Absolutely. As always, we totally enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great week.
Oh, you're very welcome. Great to be with you.
We'll be right back, folks. We'll check in with Scoot, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Scoot. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
We have a new mayor.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about the new mayor. A lot of pressure under the new mayor, and I know you've alluded to this. There are a lot of problems, and we want to judge somebody right away, but it's not going to be fair because it's kind of like a team getting a new quarterback. You know, if you don't have an offensive line, the new quarterback's going to have a tough time. And I think, like a new quarterback, Helena Moreno is going to have some difficult times that might make her look bad, but it's really the previous administration that did what they did to put her in that situation to not look good when it comes to everything.
No doubt.
Also, some great football games over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
If you walked away from the TV, you might have missed the whole thing.
Oh, I know. And, you know, the NFL could not have planned this better, but you can't convince me that this is fixed, that these games are so close. They're just close games because they're just really good teams. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that.
All righty, folks. Scoot is headed your way with a great lineup. Hope you enjoyed today's show, and thank you for all of the birthday wishes. I truly appreciate it. Have a great Monday evening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card. They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.